Interests and activities. Keep this section short and to the point. As you grow older, your employment record will take precedence and interests will typically diminish greatly in length and importance. Bullets can be used to separate interests into different types, sporting, creative, etc. Do not use old, boring cliches here like socializing with friends. That's very typical. When you talk of interests, your hobbies, like you like traveling. So where have you traveled? You're a voracious reader. You can't say I love reading and you've read only one book so far. So being a voracious reader, that means a lot into reading. Do not use boring cliches, as we said. Do not put any passive solitary hobbies, reading, watching TV, stamp collecting. Or you may be perceived as lacking people skill, right? Say a person said he goes once a month for trekking. So that showed that he socializes, he meets people who are on the same wavelength, who have a similar interest. So you need to write some activity whereby you're involved with people. If you do put these, then say what you read or watch. I particularly enjoy Dickens for the vivid insights you get into the Victorian time. So Charles Dickens books, right? So what are you reading? Or say you read books like The Power of Now, written by Eckhart Tolle, The Secret. So books ideally, or Shiv Khera's book, You Can Win. So books which ideally help you to go through challenges with, books which ideally help you read and motivate you on various fronts as far as work is concerned. Interests and activities show a range of interests to avoid coming across as narrow. If everything centers around sport, they may wonder if you could hold a conversation with a client who is not interested in sport. If you can hold a conversation with someone who's not interested in sport, then you've achieved a big deal. Hobbies that are a little out of the ordinary can help you to stand out from the crowd. Skydiving, mountaineering, bungee jumping can show a sense of wanting to stretch yourself and an ability to rely on yourself in demanding situations. Any interests relevant to the job are worth mentioning. Current affairs, if you wish to be a journalist, a fantasy share portfolio such as bull and bears if you want to work in finance, right? So you're more aware with the way the markets are. So probably able to express it because of the knowledge and because you're well read. Any evidence of, when you talk of interests and activities, any evidence of leadership is important to mention. The moment you express your leadership skills, it means that you as an individual have the ability to deal with people effectively in a group. You as an individual have that skill to ideally bring about harmony, coordination in a group. And you as an individual, most important, have the skill to get work done out of people. When you talk ideally of leadership, important to mention captain or coach of a sports team, course representative, chair of a student society, scout leader. As captain of the school cricket team, I had to set a positive example, motivate and coach players and think on my feet when making bowling and field position changes, often in tense situations, right? So even in the most stressful situations, how you as a captain of a team or how you as a person at top management was dealing with all the people and how did you overcome that kind of crisis. Anything showing evidence of employability skills such as team working, organizing, planning, persuading, negotiating. How you negotiated, that means a win-win situation. How you managed to ideally resolve a certain issue, though the issue is carrying on for a longer period of time. How ideally, for example, there's a recession and few of them know they're going to be asked to leave. In spite of that, how do you manage to maintain a positive environment as far as work is concerned? How do you manage to motivate your team members? What ideally do you do as an individual by being empathizing? What is it that influences the others from you in terms of your behavior? All these aspects are important. What should your CV contain? Much has been written about hobbies that are considered good and others which put employers off. While processing CVs, little or no attention is provided to this section. But during the job interview, recruiters want you to be in a relaxed and positive mood. Prepare your CV and questions on your interests and hobbies. Just achieve this objective. We now discuss references. Many employers do not check references at the application stage. So unless the vacancy specifically requests referees, it is fine to omit this section completely if you're running short of space or to say. References are available on request. Now, normally two referees are sufficient. One academic, perhaps your tutor or project supervisor, and another an employer, perhaps your last part-time or summer job. That means, why would these people recommend you? Because ideally you've left on a good note. Ideally you've achieved what you had to when you worked for this company or for that organization. Ideally, even when you talk maybe of a tutor or a project supervisor, you had lived up to the expectations and achieved the goals. So which is why their references or recommendations will make a difference to you when you apply for a job. Before you put their names on CV, please ensure that you have sought their permission, very important, provided them with a copy of your CV. They should know that you have taken their permission and only then it is put forward. Suddenly, if they get a call from the other organization, they cannot say, we're not aware, he's applied in your organization and he's asked for us to ideally give our references for his CV. Now, a sample template for your CV. Name, your contact details, which we said include your landline, mobile number, email, and even your address. Objective, briefly state exactly what is it you want, what job are you applying for. Do not elaborate. I gave you an example few slides back if I'm talking of working with adolescents. Personal profile, key element of your CV. We've discussed personal profile, your characteristics. I gave you examples for that too, right? Goal-driven, words such as goal-driven, words such as motivating, right? Specific keywords to be used. The rest of your CV content will be based on this section. You can write this information either using bullet points or sentences. Use words which reflect skills and experiences which match the opportunity you are applying for. But keep it as short as you will have the opportunity to expand on these basic themes later in your CV. Education. Write in reverse chronological order. So we always say write education from the time you've completed your highest degree of education till now. Sorry, from the time you've completed your highest degree of education and then prior to that. Do not forget to include your degrees, including the institution where you have studied, your degree titles and the passes you've achieved. That means first class pass, right? Distinction, that sort of an aspect. If you're applying for your first post after graduating, then this section can do more than just list your educational achievements. You can highlight units, modules and projects from your degree course, which are relevant to the post you're applying for. See, since you're just applying after you've completed your graduation or after graduation, you need to focus on these aspects too, your projects. What can you highlight? You have to figure out what can you accentuate. That means what can you highlight so that it will be focused on in terms of your achievements or in terms of what you have done even as a student at graduation level. For instance, finally, your projects area. Useful to promote as they provide evidence of project management skills. You may want to add information about your secondary education, especially if it shows skills such as languages and distinctions. So everything positive can be put forward. Employment. This is a section which raises more questions at interviews. Again, write in reverse chronological order, including your job title, organization you work for, dates. Just the year is sufficient. You could add relevant jobs you did as a student, very important. Like that time you were an intern, for example, during college days. So now intern can be paid, unpaid, fair enough. But at least as an intern, what did you pick up? What did you learn? Only add those which add to your experience and skill base relevant to the job you are applying for. So when you were an intern, now again, if you work somewhere for 3 weeks, that won't serve the purpose. But you can write something about it. It may just help. Be careful that you do not write a job description, but write about what you achieved in that job, starting each statement with an action power word. This is where you can link your work experience to the skills you highlighted in personal profiles. What do I mean by action, power, word? For example, when I say goal oriented, so we are focusing on these words, right? Resourceful, proactive. These are the words ideally which define you when you did that kind of work. Achievements. Did you win any prizes or awards? Have a position of responsibility? Captained a team, organized an event, or were recognized for anything else you have done? What about any other extracurricular activities? You should include those which support your CV. If you have limited achievements to offer, then leave this heading out and replace it with another heading more relevant to your experience. So it's all about the experience which you have had and link it to the experience which you have had. What about skills and qualifications? If you speak any languages, play an instrument, have achieved or have recognized IT or any other non-academic qualifications, have a driving license, which I particularly feel not necessary, or any qualification related to your extracurricular activities, include them here. Both this section and the achievement section of your CV are where you can demonstrate your broader skills and activities, which can make you a better employee or team player. Ideally, they want to see how skillful are you as an individual. Ideally, they want to see what can you do in this organization in the terms of the question, why should we hire you? So besides being committed, dedicated, focused, are you an effective team player? Are you able to achieve your goals? Do you have a vision? Do you see yourself contributing 100% as far as this organization is concerned in terms of work? Do you see that you have the ability to cooperate and deal with all people from all walks of life? That is the kind of thought process which one should develop. Further information, perhaps you played a sport, have volunteering experience. Yes, sometimes it does help, even if you mention that, say you go every Saturday to a Dharavi school to do seva. Dharavi is the largest slum. So there you say that I contribute my Saturdays there. I do voluntary work. I teach the slum children English. And ideally, somewhere it gives a sense of contentment to me because I'm reaching out to people. Were you an active member of a university club or have an interesting hobby? Referees, if you need the space, just write references available on request. If the individual reading your CV is interested, you will be contacted for references anyway. If you have space, give all the contact details, including title, if appropriate. Your layout. When you talk of the layout of the CV, what is most important? Arrangement. Your CV should be carefully and clearly laid out, not too cramped, but not with large empty spaces either. Use bold and italic typefaces for headings and important information. Never back a CV. Each page should be on separate sheet of paper. That means ideally, when you talk of a CV, one side has information, the back side is blank. Now, why do we suggest this? Because this is the way ideally it should be. When you talk of a CV, again, what is most important? That it ideally is spaced out well. When you talk of a CV, ideally, what is most important? That the way information is put, it is easy for the person to understand and read. Be concise. A CV is an appetizer and should not give the reader indigestion. Do not feel that you have to list every examination you have ever taken or every activity that you have been involved in. Consider which are the most relevant or impressive. Yes. Do not give details in a manner where your CV goes to a great extent. We know someone who's worked for probably 10 years and has one page CV, but it is so effectively written and that actually strikes a chord. A very long CV ideally is not considered appropriate and maybe not even enough effort will be put in to read because it is a lengthy CV. Your CV layout, the best CVs tend to be fairly economical with words. I guess when you talk of conciseness, in the near future, one word for it, soon. So we have to learn to concise words. We have to learn that we need to cut down on words instead of having too many words and making it lengthy. What you speak, that's what you will write. So you have to get very effective with your way of communicating, then automatically written communication can be easier. The best CVs tend to be fairly economical with words, selecting the most important information and leaving a little something for the interview. They're like a trailer rather than the main movie. Yes, ideally when we go for an interview, very often students or even people who worked for a few years, we need to realize that whatever is mentioned on the CV, we need to speak or discuss much more than that. If every aspect is mentioned on the CV, then what is it which I will give in terms of information when I go for an interview? So one needs to be careful that every aspect, in fact, should not be mentioned on the CV. Good business communications tend to be short and to the point, focusing on the key facts, and your CV should to some extent emulate this. The longer and more dense your CV is, the harder it is for an employer to comprehend your achievements. Even if the employer understands, it ideally will be considered lengthy and maybe the focus will go off track. As Mark Twain said, if I had only one more time, I would write you a shorter letter. Your CV layout. Be positive. Put yourself overconfidently and highlight your strong points. I guess we've discussed in the previous slides and chapters that focusing on the positives is most important. Whenever we discuss even our negatives, for example, very often during an interview, what are your weaknesses? That's a question which is asked. We have discussed this, that probably even if I say I am not punctual very often, then that's a weakness. So I highlight this weakness by putting forward a solution to it. I'm not punctual, but of lately I realized the essence and value of time, and I feel I should reach 10 minutes prior whenever I have to go somewhere. It also makes me feel that everything can come and go, but time once gone will not come back. So what are we doing? We are highlighting on the essence and value of time. For example, when listing your interests, start with where you won medals, certificates first. So in this case, you are starting with the most positive aspects. Be honest. I guess it is understood that we have to be honest and transparent. Indira Nooyi, PepsiCo CEO, too says that besides effective communication skills, integrity, that is honesty, is a very crucial aspect for human beings. If integrity is not there, everything else is of no use. So we need to understand that honesty and transparency is a very crucial aspect for human beings. Although a CV does not allow you to omit details such as examination not passed at the first attempt, which you would prefer the employer not to know about, you should never state inaccurate or misleading information. CVs are not legal documents and you cannot be held liable for anything within. But if a recruiter picks up a suggestion of falsehood, you will be rapidly rejected. I guess it just reflects on you as an individual if you are misleading information. It reflects on you, and you have to understand that in the long run, you may face the consequences. An application form which you've signed to confirm that the contents are true is, however, a legal document and forms a part of your contract of employment if you are recruited. There, if you sign that the following contents are true, and then if it is figured out that you have given incorrect information or you're misleading the employee, then legal action can be taken against you. Preparing your CV, your CV layout. If posting a CV, do not fold it, put it into full size A4 envelope so that it does not arrive creased. Now, font also, they're saying Lucinda font. When we talk of font ideally which is readable and font ideally which is appealing to human eyes. Now, let's take Cadbury's for example. What is written in the alphabet D and B? The way it is written, that's for a chocolate. But when we talk of a CV, we need to understand there's a major difference. So when we talk of a CV, more than it being appealing to the reader, it should be font which is readable and visible to the reader. One graduate had emailed out over 80 CVs without getting a single reply and was puzzled as to why. I asked him to show me what he had sent out. He had sent identical CVs and letters to all companies in one mass email. This is not a mistake, this is a blunder. That means this is something which definitely can never be done. It reflects on you as an individual. It shows that somewhere you're careless and reckless. Because when you're applying to 5 organizations or 50 organizations, each organization has to receive an email from you. I cannot send a mass email. Recruiters opening the email could see the names of the 80 companies it applied to in the 2 box of the email. This reflects on you, and this ideally is absolutely unacceptable. Okay, now we say, for example, Vijay Shah graduated from Pune University in 2005 and secured a job in fashion designing company in public relations. With 2 years of experience, shifted to Mumbai and was recruited as a customer services supervisor, where she handled significant sales volume, performed consistently and effectively. Shifted to another bigger company to become a manager, handled higher volumes and generated more profits. Vijaya now wishes to respond to the wanted advertisement for a customer service director's post. Now, the moment it has come as a wanted, that means she fits into it very appropriately, because it is said wanted customer service director's post, and she has started with PR, then shifted to customer service supervisor, and then ideally became a manager. So she's achieved all of it within that span of time, so she could fill in this profile. Prepare her CV by adding the missing details in the above data. So when you talk of a CV, what are her achievements? When you talk of achievements, definitely within 2 years, how much of growth and progress. When you ideally talk of her skills, she had the skills of dealing with people, dealing with a heterogeneous population, people with varied mindset. So effective as far as dealing with people. That means here you can say client-driven, customer-driven, right? So her focus was such that she could handle people effectively. Some organizations prefer to use a standard application form for recruitment rather than receive CVs. There are several reasons for the preference. The standard format allows quick screening, right? If it's a typical format, it's easier for them to do screening. Key requirements are covered for all candidates. Only responsible candidates fill them up. Others find it difficult to provide all the data asked for. Inconsistencies and omissions are evident. Analysis simplified and speeded up. See, when it's in a format, it's easier also for the people who do screening, because it's a format which makes their life easier. No favors to those who write clever CVs, right? So ideally, what happens is, people do it even today. You get your CV written by someone who's an expert. So here at least, if it's a form, never mind that you're filling the form by yourself, but at the same time, you're writing what exactly you would fit in your CV. So that ideally is put forward in the form. You can use your CV to fill in such application forms without any difficulty, as content is similar. Read the application form through before writing anything. Make a photocopy to start writing or filling data in it. Only finalized data is to be entered in the form received by you from the company. If you are to fill in this application online, then first fill it offline, check. After checking, finalize, only then send online. Standard application forms used by corporates usually have a box where candidates has option to provide any additional data not asked for in the application. You can write, fill any information in your CV which could not be included in the application so far. This ensures that any important data in your CV is not lost but considered in the application form. Always forward your CV to a prospective employer with a covering letter. Now we go to cover letter. What is a cover letter? It is a first point of contact with a prospective employer. It needs to be engaging and shows the employer that you have the skill to do a job. It is an opportunity to headline your key points and highlight your suitability for the job. If you're forwarding the CV in response to any job posting by the employer, refer to it first. If not, do not make the reader guess what you're asking for. Be specific about the opening you want in the organization. Tell specifically how you learned about the position or the organization a flyer posted in your department, a website, a family friend who works at the organization. It is appropriate to mention the name of someone who suggested that you write. So ideally, when you talk of a cover letter, it includes a brief introduction of yourself. It highlights the relevant skills, qualifications, experience, and also it is specific as far as your role is concerned. When we talk of a cover letter, we finish or wind up on a positive note. A cover letter will have "Dear Sir" as salutation or "Dear Ma'am." A cover letter will have a complimentary close, "Yours faithfully." When you ideally talk of a cover letter, it will be seen first. Therefore, it must be very well written and targeted to that employer. Call attention to the elements of your background. Education, leadership, experience are relevant to the position you are seeking. Be as specific as possible using examples. Reflect your attitude, personality, motivation, enthusiasm, and communication skills. Provide or refer to any information specifically requested in a job advertisement that might not be covered in your resume, as such as availability date or reference to an attached writing sample. Indicate what you will do to follow up. You can say, "I look forward to hearing from you," or you can say, "Awaiting a positive reply," or "I will contact you in the next 2 weeks to see if you require any additional information regarding my qualifications." Your covering letter has to be in a single page. If you are having trouble fitting a document on one page, sometimes a margin or font adjustment can be the solution, but it has to be one page. Say, for example, you want to apply to the US for a master's degree. So your cover letter will have, "Dear Sir, I so-and-so," that means my name, "I, Bhairvi Mamani, have applied to your university for a master's in business administration for fall 2014. The following is the list of documents." So then I mentioned that, okay, I've sent the list of documents. Then I do write a few other aspects in terms of writing a cover letter, whereby, as I said, a brief introduction about myself too.